Welcome back to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. I'm your host, Dana Montes of Real Food with Dana. I'm a nutritionist and body image coach, teaching women how to heal their relationship with food and their bodies, ditch the diet cycle for good, and truly thrive with real food, one delicious meal at a time. Welcome back to the podcast. This week, we are switching gears a little bit, and we are going to take a behind-the-scenes look at the business of social media. And this week's guest is Kendall Dickeyson, also known as the Flexible Foodie on Instagram. So we're going to be talking about the evolution of a personal brand, what it's like to work with brands behind the scenes, how you make money from Instagram or don't actually, and building a profitable business while staying authentic on social media, which is harder than you might think. So we're getting you guys a little bit of a behind the scenes look at that. And Kendall is also talking about her personal health journey from orthorexia and anorexia to flexible dieting and counting macros to actual freedom from food and what that looks like now from her. And finally, that one time she worked with Hinge, yes, the dating app, on a super successful Instagram campaign. We can do this.
Yeah.
So for people who don't know you, or for people who don't follow you on Instagram, which I highly recommend doing for all the laughs, which there'll probably be a lot of today. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell people who you are?
So my name is Kendall. I am known on Instagram as a Flexible Foodie, and Flexible Foodie is basically about, you know, living your best life in the sense of being flexible, honestly, with everything. So like how food plays a role, how work plays a role, and sort of just like going with the flow and still having fun. And yeah, that's pretty, it's like live your best life, like how you want to in like a healthy way. But I focus mainly on like healthy recipes and delving into more like lifestyle-ish content. Because hashtag relatable, hashtag vulnerability. so yeah, that's pretty much my deal.
Yeah. So why don't you tell people how you got there in your business? Because this is like your full-time gig now. And you had kind of a very roundabout, non-conventional way to starting your own business. So tell people more about that.
Oh, let's see. Well, cliff note is, I went to three colleges first where I like studied, I was undecided at my first, and then studied business management and then studied human bio because I wanted to be a dietitian. And then I failed anatomy the first time and I was like, I don't think this is for me. And then I decided I was just gonna like go with it and see what happened. I passed the second time, and then I realized that I was on Instagram a lot more rather than like studying, like doing all that stuff. And I was like in the kitchen way more often. I was like, oh, like I'll ace the test. Like it's fine. And then all of a sudden I was like, I don't want to go back to school. So, what would have been my junior year? Cause I was like a year behind from transferring. I decided to leave. And at that point, I was already running social accounts for like a few restaurants in the city, just for like side hustle money. And I was also working in retail at Madewell and Outdoor Voices. And I sort of just like, I'll stick to that. Like I have income. I'm lucky that I can live with my mom. I have food on the table. Like I'll make it work. So at that time I had gotten like 3 to 4 social clients. Just like making a few hundred dollars a month. I didn't really think anything of it at all. I was like, oh, I'll just get a job at like some like food startup or like something wellness based and like do a marketing role there. And then what happened is I sort of just kept closing clients, but like not on purpose. And my mom was like, you need to, literally to the point where my mom was like, you need to stop. Like, why is this happening? And, so yeah, I started off in like restaurants, and then I sort of just built it up now where at the same time I was building the account. At that time, the account wasn't monetized. So that was like 2016. Yeah, so there was like nothing coming from that then. I didn't really know what I wanted then either. I was in a different mindset with like food and like the whole flexible dieting thing, like, you know, how we feel about that. And from there, I started like delving more into like actual health and wellness for my own body and like seeing what made me feel good, because I was having like really bad injuries happening like consistently. My energy levels were like all over the place. Hormone levels were all over the place. And with doing that, I was able to stay home. I was able to cook more and I would just keep posting photos. And then the account was growing, and all of a sudden I remember getting like my first like reach out from a brand for something paid, and I was like, ooh, this is exciting. And I didn't really like think anything of it. I guess I never started the account with a plan. And I think a lot of people say that. And I literally started it in my dorm room as a college freshman in Vermont for no reason. Like, I was going through my own like eating disorder, like disordered habits, and like I was like, I'm gonna start this account for accountability, and that's what it was supposed to be. And it grew, and then here I am now in 2019 being like, wow, this thing that started out of my dorm room is now functioning as like a two-way street to media consulting for brands and like local businesses. So I still work with like some restaurants. I'm like starting to go into the brand space. And then on the other side is like the account itself, which is now like getting monetized through like brand partnerships and like, you know, contract at work. And I don't know why I said contract it like that. And then also just doing like any, you know, like one-off, like helping people do ebooks, like recipe ebooks, and doing stuff like that. So that's the
cool. Oh, cool. Well, so one question that I get all the time, which you will probably laugh because I'm sure you get this too, is how do you make money from Instagram? I make money off of my Instagram in the sense that it is a business tool that I use, that when you monetize, brands will pay you, but it's not actually Instagram paying us.
Yeah, everyone thinks it's like, someone got asked this last night, and they answered it. They were like, I'm pretty sure Instagram doesn't pay the person, brand. And I'm like, that is correct. And yeah, I get that question. Like, I think the most confused people are like, you know, around our parents' age, where like they don't understand at all like how this works. I mean, I still have to explain to my mom like everything like that, and she gets it. But yeah, it's just like a brand will reach out to us and be like, hey, do you want to work together? Or like, hey, if it's a brand that we both know, right, and we both use it like organically already, usually a brand will reach out to us and just simply ask Dana or I, hey, do you want to work together? And then like blah 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 blah, we talk something out, there's contracts, legalities, like whatever. And for that, we have deliverables that we get paid for. It's pretty simple. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, there's also like one-off sites that we use also. There's websites like that influencers have access to, where if they're not getting like, I don't even want to say big brand deals, but like
consistent brand deals.
Yeah, like consistent, or like if it's really good actually if you're like starting off to go on sites like that, because then you get like your feet wet and you like understand the back end of things. But yeah, it's definitely not like easy to monetize. I think a lot of people think like brand deals just fall on people's laps, but like sometimes it's the opposite, where like you need to reach out first, and like get the brand, depending on the brand, like get their attention, and like how can you stick out from everyone else. And that's the biggest thing now, is there's so many people on this app, so it just makes it even harder.
It's even harder to monetize and stay authentic to your mission and your message at the same time, because I mean, I'm sure you get this too. Like literally last week, Papa John's reached out to me.
And oh my God, I died at
that. We would love to work with you. And I've had Coca-Cola reach out. I've had Hidden Valley Ranch, like all of these brands over the years that I'm sure were just like completely random. Like, oh, here's a person on Instagram who has some kind of following. Like, let me reach out to them. And it's like, I'm sure they would have been able to pay me. I'm sure they would have been able to pay me like some good money. But at the same time, if a brand reaches out to me and it's one very clear that they haven't done any research on who I am and what my brand is and what my mission is, or if I've never worked with the brand before or never heard of them before, and it's not a product that I've used on my own, like in my own personal life, I'm not automatically just like, hey, yeah, like you can definitely pay me and I'll promote your stuff. It's like, okay, yeah. I'd love for you to send me something first so that I can try it out and see if I actually like it. Because if you want to monetize a social media business and also stay authentic at the same time, you do have to do a lot of vetting. And there are plenty of brands that I've turned down and be like, I don't think this is going to be a good fit, you know? And then at the same time, there will be brands that you want to work with and they tell you that they don't have the budget, and some of them really don't, and other people just don't want to pay you, which also sucks as well. Because like if this is your full-time thing or even the part-time thing, you don't want to just be doing work for free all the time on a
and like hope that something's gonna come of it.
Yeah,
I think there's definitely like a give and take where, you know, there is a lot of, I guess, I don't know, like I have done work for free and have gotten paid at like after doing that, but that's like depending on the company. Like if it's a company that you know keeps their word on that, like, hey, can we see some of your work first that you would be able to do for us before blah 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 blah, because you know we only have like this budget or whatever. I actually dealt with that yesterday. Like someone was like, we only have this budget, and where I came in was like a little over like one point, like it was a little higher than what they could afford, but they were super super nice. And like, you have to know where to like pull yourself and like where to stand up for yourself. And they were super nice in letting me come in the campaign super late. Cause I didn't see the email, the campaign's next week. And I was like, hey, because you're so flexible, like totally, I'm totally willing to see like where we can go from here. Cause it's a company I really enjoy and I snack on them all the time. So like, you have to know like your own boundaries, but don't be stupid with them. Like, I think some people throw numbers out that are just insane because they think that they, not because they think that they can, but because they think that's what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I feel like it gives a bad name, and people and companies start getting like weary and like, ooh, like if someone in this range is charging this much, but then you go to a girl in the same range who's charging like way less, you're obviously going to go here and this one's going to lose. So it's a whole...
Yeah, there's a lot of politics of social media and working with brands and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts. But so, speaking of flexible, where did your business name originally come from?
So it never started off as this, actually. Like the account was never the Flexible Foodie. I don't even know if it I'm going to get judged so hard. So when I started the account in at UVM, so I was only like, how old were we, freshman in college?
18.
I don't know why I was going to say 15. Wow. It's one of those days.
Okay. You'd be a genius if you were a freshman in college at 15.
Oh, God. I'm just a genius. So it was like first semester, because that's all I lasted at my first college was first semester. At that point, I was like, okay, my roommate Jamie was vegan, and she was like, let's make Instagram accounts that like highlight healthy eating in college. And at the time, like she could tell like not that something was wrong with me, but that like physically, like I didn't look healthy. Like I was literally dead skin and bones. Like it was just, I worked bad. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And I didn't think about it at first. I was like, this could actually like change my life, like in the health aspect. I wasn't thinking career aspect literally at all. I didn't want it to grow. And I was like, okay, let's come up with names. I remember sitting in our dorm room, like staring at each other, just being like, okay, what's yours going to be? Because you're vegan. And I'm like, I'm not. And I came up with the Clean Booty Diaries. And yeah, right. It's really original. And so it started off as that. Definitely not that anymore. Thank God. And it came to Flexible. So this is a question. Not a question I get, but something I've wanted to get off my chest. So thank you for bringing this up.
Bring it. I'm ready.
So if you're coming from my account and you're listening to this podcast and you've wondered why the word flexible is in my name, one, it started off because of the flexible dieting thing, but that is no longer the reason. So, like, it started off because I changed it immediately when I switched the line over to, like, tracking macros and stuff. It's like, ooh, flexibility, whatever. And now certain people in the space have given it a really bad connotation in my eyes to the approach of food. But I take full responsibility for being one of the people who took, like, really strong advantage of like tracking and like making dumb recipes that were like not actually good for you. Like they looked really good and like sure, like it fit your macros, but like on the inside probably not so much. And now like my own reborn version of the name is, it's just literally what I said in the beginning. Like it's just like being flexible when it comes to like everything. So like the way like life hits you, the way like how you deal with food, whether you have like food allergies or like you're a student, you live with a bunch of roommates, you don't have access to a kitchen, like all that stuff. It's more so just about like life, flexibility, not tracking macros. It's not about like how much can you fit in your day.
You talked about this like very briefly, but I would love if you could talk a little bit more about your personal health journey.
Ooh, okay. So let's see. In short-ish, when I was, I think like middle school, basically I've always been like an athlete or like athletic most of my life. So I always played sports in middle school when I was younger, softball, track, volleyball, basketball. And then when I got to like seventh grade, I don't really know like what like switch hit wrong. I guess like all of a sudden like body image switch just decided to go like really hardcore and be like, okay, you're just gonna hate everything for like a few years and you'll have to suck it up. So from like sixth or seventh grade to literally when I was a freshman in college, I mean even past then, I also think that no one really gets over body image issues. Everyone has them, like in some aspects, just not the severity that everyone else has. But they were at like their peak from like before I went to high school to freshman year of college. So from that, I developed orthorexia and anorexia from sophomore year of high school to freshman year of college. And that's the reason I left the first school, which I never really had. Well, I've said it on Instagram, but like if you're a person who follows me on my personal Instagram account, or I know you in real life, you probably don't know that. Basically, yeah. So like I left the first school on medical leave because from the time I got to UVM, I was so scared to eat at the dining hall because I had no control over anything. I didn't know what was in the food. Like I was actually scared to go to the gym. So I would train in my room, but I was overtraining like crazy. And so at that point, so short, I'm small, I'm active, and I don't want to eat. Like I remember going to the doctor's office at UVM because like I lost my period and I was like so cold all the time and like couldn't do anything. I would die at like 2 p.m. Like that's the longest. I would wake up at like 6:30 and by 2 p.m. I was like on my bed. I'd miss my classes because I just didn't care anymore. I was like, I don't really care. I basically like failed myself out a little bit. And then when I went to the doctor to get everything looked at, she was like, what are your eating habits like? And she already like knew, like she knew she didn't even have to ask the question. And she was like, well, I want you to go see like a therapist. And I was like, well, I don't live here. So I don't want to see a school therapist either. I don't need help, blah, 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 the whole, like, I can do this myself. Nope. I was like, I'm going home. I was like, I'm leaving. I want nothing to do with the school. Love the school, want nothing to do with it. So I like immediately went home, and that, it's weird. The minute I went home, like things started getting better because my mom enforced it. And then, yeah, like I found tracking through Instagram. So when I started that account, I found like macro tracking, which is stupid. And I don't recommend if you are obsessed with numbers to go from that directly to tracking. Wasn't my best move, but it actually forced me to eat more because it showed me how little I was eating. So that's where it was a good tool until it came to having to do social outings, and like that's where it started getting more disordered. But when I was like home, like I was like eating a lot more. And then I sort of just like, nowadays, I don't track all the time. I track like on and off only because I'm a chronic under eater.
What do you think were your biggest influences on your relationship with food and your body growing up?
Oof, that's a good question. In terms of like,
like where do you think the disordered eating switch
came from?
Yeah.
I would say probably mostly sports. Only because I think it was like a huge thing for all of us back then too, where it's like you saw these athletes and you're like, well, that's what like being in shape is, but it's like definitely not, because obviously not like sustainable or maintainable. So I think it stemmed from that, and it stemmed from me being, I think it was like low confidence also. Like I'm very open about that. Like I'm not the most confident person you'll ever meet. I'm a little bit better than I was a few years ago, but like back then it was like very bad. But that's because like, it was like my teeth were all met. Like I had huge buck teeth when I was in grade school. So like when I got braces, and I actually wanted braces my whole life. I was like, I want them. They're just so cool to look at. And same with glasses. I don't know why. And so I didn't get braces till high school. And then, so I was growing up with that. And then I was like the only like curly haired girl in like my grade, or there was like one or two of us. But like, it's, I don't know why, it's like, it's normal, but like, it almost feels weird at the same time. And I couldn't really like connect with, like, I had really good friends, but I couldn't really like connect. And I would find myself compare myself to them and like what they were accomplishing, or like blah, 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 or what they looked like. And so it stemmed from like my own comparison trap and sports, and, but like nothing ever family related at all. It was usually the opposite. Yeah, I would say that.
So then how do you deal with the comparison trap of social media now, having that being in your background?
I knew that was coming. I hit myself up.
You walked right into that one.
I did. I really did. So, you know, I'm still like, so, okay. In terms of like social media comparison, I think it doesn't stem so much from like, doesn't stem on like the physical level of comparison or anything like that. It definitely stems more so in the business comparison. And that can drive you up the goddamn wall. Like, I mean, I do have like a mentor, and I'm in, hate the word mastermind. We're trying to change the name because it's really not a mastermind. I'm in a mastermind, I guess, though. So, and the one thing he hammers in on me on every single week, and he's like, are you done comparing yourself yet? Are you done yet? And I'm just like, I'll probably never be done. But Yeah, it definitely like can paralyze you. I think that's what I've realized through social. I get paralysis by analysis, and what will happen, and like it's pretty visible, is I will stop posting for like 2 weeks. Usually lately it's only because I'm like working on my new ebook, so like I want to focus on that first, but otherwise it's only been because like I see so much and I'm taking in so much and I can't come up with my own thought. And then I start comparing, this person made this, oh crap, that means I can't make it, or like, but like, dude, like, because you obviously understand where I'm coming from with it. It's like we all make the same stuff in different ways. Like, okay, everyone's posting carrot cake right now. We all love carrot cake. I don't know. You post a carrot cake. I post a carrot cake. 5 other people post a carrot cake. There's going to be like something different in each one. I think that's where like the consumer doesn't realize that like there's a prime base for certain recipes that you just can't beat. So it doesn't mean that we're copying or like trying to like be like one another. It's just that like, hey, like these are things we enjoy. And so I think I got comparison. I fell into the trap because I felt like I could make things if someone else had just posted it, because I didn't want them thinking I was trying to copy them. But like, that's just a mind game.
Yeah, definitely. And then one thing that I always think about when that happens too is like, it's funny because with podcasts, the same kind of thing happens. Like say
one
of your friends is like going on a book tour or something on like a lot of different podcasts. And like, I just had an interview a couple of weeks ago with one person who was doing a book tour. And then like another podcast that I follow, like the day after I posted that episode, was like asking her about like the exact same topics. And I'm like, they're not copying me. This is just what she talks about a lot. So of course they're going to ask her the same things, you know, but it's like, oh my God, you know, it's like, were they copying me? And I'm like, no, idiot. Of course they're not copying me. So this is what I tell myself, right?
But it's then, like when,
or it's just, you know, one person has a particular story or particular topic that a lot of people want to ask them about, you know, and they just kind of like make the rounds on all the podcasts, but the same thing, like every guest, depending on their own unique bias or background, is going to ask different questions of that interviewee based on like their past and stuff. But I mean, the same thing happens to me is like, I was actually looking at making a carrot cake recipe, and I like a couple of the accounts that I followed were like, oh, we all post carrot cake. I'm like, shit, now I can't post carrot cake. I'm like, wait a minute, I also hate baking. So why am I even going to post a carrot cake in the first place?
Hate baking. I just hate bake. Like, I hate doing it, but it always looks good.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, hey, you gotta try it. It's great.
Actually, yeah. Let me rephrase that. I don't hate baking. I hate how bad I am at it.
Yeah, same.
I cannot come up with my own. Yeah. I know. It's like, why didn't you rise? Why are all these cookies completely flat? I have no idea. Why is it going to take me 7 times to get this recipe right? Yeah, this is why I mostly stick to savory recipes as opposed to sweet recipes.
I don't blame you on that one at all.
But speaking of that, because I get this question all the time too, and I would love to hear your answer to this. Yeah. Is like, you do a lot of recipe development. Where do you get your inspiration from?
I was thinking
golden question. So you're like, actually, I copy all of your recipes.
Gets on you, Dana.
Thanks for having me on your podcast.
So I actually asked Kevin, like Fitmen Cook, this same exact question at his book, book launch when he was in the city. And he was like he had the same like facial response that I gave you, was like the eye roll, like, oh my gosh, like he was like, oh my gosh, it's the hardest thing ever. And I was like, exactly. Like, how do you do that? Especially when you're writing like a book or like whatever, cause you need the volume to fill it. And like, how are you supposed to do that? He was like, go eat out at different restaurants. I'm like, but what if I don't want to do that? Cause I don't want to do that, cause I save my money. So he was like, well, then just start like throwing things together and see what sticks. And I was like, True, but I don't want to waste the food. So I'm like, I think that's the hardest part of recipe development that has like hindered the inspiration is I feel so bad wasting food that doesn't get to be like enjoyed or like anything like that if it turns out really badly. Like I'll give what I can to like the homeless or like my doorman who doesn't really like care what it tastes like. You know, just like, I don't know. So it's just one of those things where like I'm super cost effective when it comes to everything. So it just makes me like, yeah, like, I don't know, you know, the facial expression, I don't know. So when it comes to that, I don't know, no one's going to understand that. When it comes to inspiration right now, it's like a lot of looking through some of like the food accounts from like the restaurant perspective. So I'll be looking at like a lot of like the New York City accounts or like fit like main cities, so like DC or Philly, Austin, Los Angeles, and like seeing, you know, what are the dishes at like the restaurants there and like how can I just like make them healthier, like do a spin-off on it. And then I'll think back to myself and be like, what meal did I enjoy from this place when I visited here? How can I just remake it? Because, like, obviously everyone loves really low-ingredient recipes and cheap and affordable. And, like, if you're not going to tell them to, like, stuff 55 things in the center of this goddamn cookie, be like, you're going to bake it for, like, 2 hours, let it sit overnight, and then you have to wait 3 days to eat it. So, like, you're not going to do
that. Data's not. Like, unicorn cookies.
Yeah, right? So I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. So when it comes to the baking side of things, I just think the easiest way, and like if you're a food blogger and you're listening to this, like when it comes to, if your problem's content and you're like worried over the content part, batch it in the aspect of, hey, you make a really bomb donut recipe, like a baked donut recipe that probably 50 other people have too. Most definitely do, actually, in their own way, because we're unique. Then just create like different flavors. Then you have like five different recipes, quote unquote. You know, that's the easiest way, honestly, to just inspire yourself to get the content side of it. But when it comes to flavors, that is solely like you need to look at books, you have to look at sites, you have to look at like, what are your friends eating? Or like, what are people asking for? And like, yeah, I don't even know how to fully answer the question because I don't even know the answer.
And that's funny because you're working on a recipe book right now. That's why I wanted to ask, because it's like,
so hard.
I'm sure it is. And you must get so burned out too. It's like, okay, I just created and shot 8 recipes today. Like when I wake up tomorrow, I do not want to even look at food.
Oh my gosh. You have no idea. Literally that was me yesterday. And I mean, my like, the book was actually supposed to come out in March. And I just like, was not prepared. Like, I thought I had everything down. And it's not until you realize when you sit down, you're like, I don't like any of these. And like, you spent time making them. And, or I was like, these aren't easy. These aren't actually easy enough for people. Like, all my mom's a great chef. So for recipe development, like, she's really useful. Because she knows like really good technique and like knows how to do everything correctly with knives and stuff, and I'm just like so like when I ask her for like recipe ideas, she'll come up with like something that you'll see on like freaking like Hell's Kitchen or like Top Chef, and I'm like no, these are like 24 year olds. I'm like, they're in dorms, if they're in grad school, like I don't know where they are, but like that cannot happen. So I found that too much in like the first part of the book. So I'm aiming for 65 recipes, and my deadline is tomorrow to like have it all typed up and like designed. It's probably going to be Friday, but I'm happy it actually got done this time because I won't lie. I said there was an ebook last year. It didn't come out because I literally burnt out. I was like, nope.
So is this one an ebook or it's a cookbook, like a hardcover?
Oh, ebook. It's an ebook.
65 recipes in an ebook. That's a lot.
So the plan was actually to do way more than that. But after talking to like Kevin from Fitman Cook, he was a huge help. Like, I was like, how do you know like what is like book potential and like what you keep on like your site for free? I think that's a question a lot of bloggers probably have too. Mm-hmm. It's like, what goes for free, what goes on the blog, what goes on an email list, like blah, 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 blah. So my ideal plan right now is it will be 4 books. Each will have like 60 recipes.
Damn.
Yeah. That's not sure of like the release. Oh, it is. Not sure of like the release time in between. It's going to be like months, but like that's the plan.
Okay, well, I have a completely different subject question before I let you go.
It's the one, yes. It's
yeah, the one. This is the one that you are waiting for. So you partnered with Hinge, the dating app, recently, which was like a little bit outside of your one comfort zone and two, like completely different from recipes and all that kind of stuff that you've posted about before. So like, how did that happen? Like, how did they reach out to you? Did you reach out to them? Like, how did you decide that you wanted to work with them? Like, tell me all the things, because this is it's just so interesting to me.
So I remember the day very vividly because I was sitting at my desk and I randomly got this email saying open now, like Hinge, like, you know, when you get one of those like emails from a brand, you're just like, I read it and I was like, what? I was like, this is fake. I was like, it's completely fake, but like, okay, I'll open it. And I opened it and like, it was pretty much laid out because the campaign was supposed to start the next day. Like it was super last minute. Like it was like, but also like, I know that a lot of brands do that on purpose to like get a quicker answer from people. So there's no like lingering space, which is super smart. And so it started the next day and I was like, in my head, like, that's the thing. When I saw this, I was, in my head, I was like, absolutely not. Like, why would I do this? Makes zero sense. But then what I always do is, one, yes, I use Hinge. Two, like, so it makes sense because I use it and I love it. Two, it's like, how can I work this in like a really natural way? Because it allows me to open up a side of the account that I've been wanting to talk about, but don't really talk about. And it can be an easy like crossover. And they already had like put the rate, like I didn't have to pitch them anything. They were like, this is what we can do it for. This is your call. This is all we're asking for. 2 posts, that's it. And I immediately texted 3 of my friends who work in media who are very well connected. And I said, hey, here's this person's contact information. Is this real or is this fake? Because I felt so, I wasn't sure because of the wording. I wasn't sure. They wanted like access to like my ad manager on Facebook. And I was like, well, whoa, like, I don't know, fraud, like blah, blah, blah. And we agreed to do it. And I have to say, it's like, yes, they obviously like put money behind the post to boost it because they were using like the influencers or like anyone in the campaign as their social proof for the app. So they were just running us literally as advertisements. And they were super targeted though. So I was getting followers. I didn't grow by a lot from it at all, which I don't care about, but it was like great free exposure, honestly, through that. But it also got a lot of people to like open up on the posts. So whether it was about like working from home and like how you could get a little bit lonely sometimes, or like one of them was like, I was like a factual post of like 5 facts about me, blah, 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 blah. But like it got really good response and people found it hysterical at the way I positioned it. Because I was like, oh my gosh, I have a photo of ice cream sitting on my bed and me eating french fries. Like, there has to be a way to, like, integrate this. And, yeah, I think it was, like, definitely one of the weirder things I've done for the account. But, like, one of the best, like, creative ones that challenged me. But, like, I'm super happy it happened.
That is so funny. It was so funny, like, scrolling through all of your stuff. And I was like, wait, is this real? And then I was like, yes, I love this.
It was literally so random. And I was just like, So a lot of my friends from like home were like, why did you do this? And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, do you see how funny this is? But like everyone on like the food set, like on like my, on like the food account, cause now I call the Flexible Foodie account my real account, and my like personal account is like some random, like whatever. Like everyone on like the foodie account was like, good job. They were just like, damn, smart. So I think that's also something to like aim for if you're like listening to this and you're like, I don't know how to do a brand deal, I guess, or like what has to go into it. You do not make gut decisions, or don't make decisions immediately. Think it through, write it out. How can it help the people that follow you? Why does it make sense? And like all your values, and then like go back and like look at the contract. It's so easy to say yes, and then you realize you signed up for something because you didn't read something correctly, and you're just like, oh, now I'm against my morals, and then you're screwed. So yeah, I think it's one of those things where like it's so hard now to scroll without seeing like hashtag ad or anything like that, and it has to be normalized that you're gonna see a lot of it. I think a lot of people still shit on a lot of people for doing it, but they don't realize that is the income that they have to eat with and pay rent with. But also, I'm gonna say it. Here's the thing. Just because you might be seeing people with 500,000 followers doing some ads and like brand deals, that doesn't mean that everyone's definition of successful is different, but don't assume that because someone has a really high following that means they are sitting in like golden bathtubs and stuff like that. I know people, not personally, but I've heard that there are people out there who like have 500,000 followers and can't pay their gas for their car. And I know people, like literally face to face know them, who have 1,500 followers and make like $2 million a year. Not that money is everything, but just don't believe everything that you see.
That just means that followers don't mean anything.
Exactly. Just create good engagement with your followers. Like, I don't even care about likes anymore. Like, I'd rather have like really genuine comments and like conversation, because like those are the people that are like on your side. Like, anyone could pay for likes, you could pay for saves, you could pay for literally everything. It's actually very gross.
Words of wisdom with Kendall.
I'm trying.
Oh man. All right. Well, I don't want to keep you too long. So when people want to go watch your coffee dance videos, where can they find you?
wait. Are we doing one at Expo if we go?
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay, good. I accepted. Okay.
Every day of Expo.
In front of every single booth.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All 5,000 of them on the main street, outside, inside. If they want to watch my coffee dances, you can find me on Instagram at the Flexible Foodie. And then I'm not really sure when the book's coming out, but in the near future. So if you're interested in that, my website is flexfoodie.com. You can sign up for the email list and you'll be the first one to get notified. And I heard there might be a pre-sale. So,
Yeah, it's Flex Foodie and not Flexible Foodie. Cause I looked that up before we got on the call. I was like, this is not,
that's not me. Oh my gosh. I tried to, there's like two Flexible Foodies. Someone has the Flexible Foodie. And then there's a girl who has Flexible Foodie. I don't know if it was like the girl that does online training.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I tried to buy that domain from her. She wanted $20,000. So just blew the spot on that one. And yeah, so.
So everyone give her no traffic. Don't go to that website.
She was like 20,000. And I was like two. I was like, we need two. And she was like, come back to me when you have a real job. And I'm like, I do.
Wow.
Yeah. I found her on Facebook and everything. So I don't know. But yeah, flexbooty.com, people, get with it. So people sign up to your stuff and they're like, Kendall, you've changed so much. I'm like, that's not me.
Oh, gosh. Yikes. All right, well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes, and come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes.